We have a very special guest today. We are interviewing Mairead Nesbitt, who has a new album out, which we will both be playing and talking about in this show. Mairead is well known as the violinist and founding member of Celtic Woman, and she is now busy completing a solo album and will be touring in March. Mairead, welcome to High Country Celtic Radio.
Hiya, Katie. Hiya, Joe. I'm just so happy to be here, and thanks a million for playing my music.
We love it. We thoroughly enjoy it. And I've been following Celtic Women, obviously, for a long time, but it was fun to just go in and deep dive on you a little bit. So really enjoyed doing that and your history. I'd noticed your family seems to be your first introduction to music. Was there a moment when you knew you were going to be a professional musician?
You know, you're right, Katie. You know, my family are my main inspiration musically, apart from personally. And my mother and father are amazing living encyclopedias of music. And my sister and my brothers are all great musicians. So we were very lucky in being able to sit around together at home and play music growing up, because we come from a very rural area and it was great to have that. And of course, my mother taught all the kids in the area and still does. And it was a very social thing, you know, have the kids from the local houses coming over, playing music together, very organic way of learning music, really, and picking up tunes by ear, which a lot of musicians in the art genre, like, say, classical and some other genres, that might have been kept from them. So I was very, very lucky to have both, to grow up really developing my ear and also the sight as well. So I consider myself very honored and privileged to be able to grow up in such a musical environment.
Did you always play the fiddle, or did you experiment with other Irish traditional instruments?
Well, I started off on the whistle, and I loved the whistle and loved it and love it. I've just kind of gone back to it a little bit again on my new album, Celtic Spells, a tiny bit. And, you know, I loved playing. Of course, we played in all the Flat Cuils growing up with Coltis and the local Coltis branch, Lochmore. And I was very privileged to be in the All-Ireland Whistle Competition with great whistle players. And we literally, the first three players, which I was a part of, I came second, and we had literally one mark between us, but we were all great friends. And so just to answer your question properly, you know, the whistle would have been the first instrument I ever played, and I love it very, very much. And the piano, of course. I started the piano when I was four, and I started the fiddle when I was six. And of course, I was playing the whistle all the time. And I kind of dabbled in the Uilleann pipes a tiny, tiny, teeny, teeny bit, and the flute as well. So
there's no tipping the toe in with pipes. You either make it your living, or it's something to, you know, listen to for somebody else.
Exactly.
I can't come to dinner. I'm making reeds.
Exactly. Well, we know you have the new album coming out. We're going to talk about that. But we've been absolutely loving the Nesbitt Family Devil's Bit album. Has that been something in the works with the family, or was there a sudden urge by everyone to do it?
You know, a little bit of both, Katie. You know, I think we're all getting older, and just we've such a big family. And I just thought, you know, my mother and father are playing great music as always, and just for us to all get together and do a live album, I thought would be a great thing to do. And we were very lucky to enlist the fabulous Brian Masterson in Dublin there, who's done a load of rock albums and a load of folk albums and just won so many awards, Grammys and things like that. Like, I'm sure you know Carlos Nunez and people like that. And he was just delighted to do the family album. And he's a very beautiful, quiet gentleman. And my parents are very low-key and quiet. And we just wanted something to be organic. And the room that we did it in actually is, I mean, the house is more than 300 years old. And the room that we did it in, we set up all the mics, everything. Actually, where I'm sitting now was where the little sound desk was for Brian. And and just, you know, setting up the night before. And you know what? We just went for it. We did, I mean, there's a lot of tracks on that album. And we went for it the whole weekend. And it was a really beautiful experience, three generations of Nesbitts, and to play in the room that my grandparents played music in all their lives. You know, it was really fantastic. And one of my favorite bits from that album, I think, is just my parents and ourselves talking between every number and explaining what the tunes are and their background and the stories behind mm-hmm. them all, because every tune has a good old story. And so that was really an amazing project for us all to be involved in. And so mm-hmm. people are getting to hear a bit more, really the pure drop, as you'd say, Katie and Joe yourselves, the pure drop of Irish music yeah. and the proper sets of tunes, you know, that really go together, mm-hmm. not just randomly have the, because mm-hmm. that's a big thing in Irish music. You have to have the right sets of tunes right together, as set. You know.
Well, and that's an art form all in and of itself. It's one of the things that makes it so special and more than just, well, these simple tunes. Well, there's so much more to it than that. And, yes. And on High Country Celtic Radio, we really do trad Celtic music, Irish, Scottish. Joe loves the music of Brittany, so oh, we yeah. have a fair amount of... But we yeah. try and stay as close to the trad as possible.
Yeah. And, yes. and actually, Joe, I'm sure then, I don't know if you've been to Lorient in Brittany. Not yet.
It's on the bucket list.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll tell you a good bit of information there. My parents got an award, a little lovely little presentation. Well, of course, my mother got the Lifetime Achievement Award this year. That was a really fantastic thing. And both my parents have been teaching in Brittany in Lorient at the Festival Interceltique for the past probably 30 years. And on their 25th year in a row, they got this lovely presentation from Lorient. And so if you ever get to go over, Joe, hopefully we'll all have a tune.
Oh, my God, that would be lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's yes. what a wonderful tidbit of information that we didn't know about.
I'll even bring the bombard.
That's great. That's very considerate.
It was quite... Transitioning in Celtic spells, what was the motivation or the voice behind the album?
You know, there's a few things with that, Katie, that I had in my mind. My mother has a book called Fiddle, F-I-D-I-L. It's the Irish word for fiddle. It's actually a tutorial, but the sets of tunes and the way they're bowed and the way they're, you don't find it anywhere else. You'll find fiddle books, but you won't find the bowing in there, which is very specific, as you know, in Irish music. It's lots of weaving, bowing, figures of eights, different bow triplets. That it goes on and on, you know. There's a lot of tunes in that book that are quite rare. And, you know, so it's been on my mind to kind of, you know, I'm a huge fan of all the amazing bands and everything out there at the moment. It's just Irish music and Celtic music in general are in very good hands. And yeah, they really are. However, I felt there was a little bit of just almost bringing it back home. I hadn't heard the traditional tunes in a long time. Like the old traditional tunes now. I'm not talking about maybe newly composed or kind of quite, you know, all the cool tunes that people hear. And they're amazing and there's nothing wrong with them at all. They're fantastic. And I love hearing them and I love playing them. But what I wanted to really highlight in this show and album is Irish traditional music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pure tunes, the actual pure tunes, and just really... really go in and try and just play them as well as I can and and just, you know, have lovely arrangements of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the show in general, the whole concept of the show, it's actually all around this young couple, 19th century, kind of around that time. And they're from different backgrounds, religious backgrounds, and it was frowned upon that they would get married at all. Basically, it's their journey, really. It's why it's called Celtic Spells is, of course, it's Celtic. And of course, my background with Celtic woman and everything. And then spells, it's like, it's really four spells in the actual show itself and two in the first half and two in the second half, just depicting their journey from Ireland to the New World and coming back to Ireland again when they're older, you know. And it's just, that's really the whole premise behind it. It's really kind of an age old kind of lack of understanding, I suppose, by people who were all from different backgrounds, but we want to be inclusive of each other. And I just wanted to try and, you know, bring that story in. It's an old story, but it's still relevant today is what I'm trying to say.
Kudos to you for coming up with the concept and putting the time into more than just playing the tunes, but coming up with community messages as well through the show. So, yeah.
I do think it's important. And actually, a friend of mine, Ed Keane, it's actually about his grandparents, actually. So it is based on a true story. And I know people will hopefully get that journey from audio, from the album as well. Like, there is a certain journey in there. Mm-hmm. And there's the wedding, and there's different stages of the couple's lives and what they had to go through. And then I try to pick tunes from either that time or that would kind of depict how they feel. There's a few newly composed mm-hmm. ones in there too, which are beautiful. I just really, though, wanted to get the pure drop traditional music in there and get some great orchestrations. And you know, I know you play a lot of music that breathe, you know, that aren't too full track wise. And I feel there's a great balance on this album insofar as it has the intimate tracks that breathe. And even in the bigger tracks, they breathe as well. They're not taken over. And hopefully they'll take everyone on a journey, you know.
The album is Celtic Spells. From a technical aspect, as musicians ourselves, I'm always curious to know, was there a particular track that gave you trouble or was not coming out the way you wanted? And how do you deal with that in the studio as a musician? Hmm. Or does it just flow for you?
You know, a bit of both again. I believe somebody asked me, you know, is it inspiration or perspiration? And I said, you know, it is both. And apart from that, we had the added thing, of course, COVID at the time when we were recording all the tracks. Mm-hmm. And I spent with Neil Grover and Ed Keane, we spent hundreds upon hundreds of hours preparing. How's the best thing to approach this? Because obviously at the time, no musicians could come to any studio. And also there was the question of budget, you know?
Right.
So Carl Nesbitt, my brother Carl, he plays a lot of different world instruments on it, like the bouzouki, of course, and the baron and flute and low whistle. And it just has been invaluable having him on the album. And myself, I did a lot of different instruments. And then I have a great orchestrator, Patter Townsend, and he's a Cork man. Mm. And he lives in Bournemouth in UK. And he's the most amazing classical musician, but his father and the whole family also had that whole Irish traditional sensibility. Mm-hmm. So that was really great to have that team and great singers, Ryan and John, and just we made it work. And really in the face of a pandemic, basically they were recording music from Nashville to Massachusetts to LA to Cork to Nashville. So, and we brought it all together, and it was just, it was a necessity, but you know what? It really worked out, and I'm really happy with that. And as you were saying about, you know, did we come up against many problems? And there were different kind of problems. Like, for instance, my fiddles. It was a learning curve for me. So I never thought in a million years that I'd have to record myself for a whole album and not drop in anywhere. Because I was playing, I had enough kind of space to literally press record, you know. But then when you're playing, you know, you want to get to the end. And then you're hoping, for me, because of my limited recording experience, very limited, I couldn't drop in. Like, just say I didn't like a mistake or there was something happened. And if something happened, I'd have to go stop and go back to the beginning and record the whole thing again. Mm. I didn't drop in. So all the takes that you hear are all completely full takes.
I know that adds extra pressure. I mean, when you know you have those engineers behind you in the studio, it's sort of a more relaxed feeling. But when you're doing it yourself, pushing the button, I absolutely understand.
Yeah.
Wow. Complete takes. That's great.
Well, it's how they used to do it back in the old days of the 78s.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
The album is Celtic Spells. We have been speaking with Mairead Nesbitt. I do want to say there's a West Coast tour coming up March 11th. Mairead will be in Bremerton, Washington, March 12th in Modesto, California, March 17th in Rancho Cucamonga, California, and March 18th at the same location. We are so excited. The concept of the album is great, but this added aspect of the performance as well and the the history and the story behind it, Joe and I might have to plan a road trip and see if we can find one of those concerts. That would actually be great. So we're excited to present a preview track from the upcoming Celtic Spells release, which will be available for listeners to purchase in March of 2023. Here's Give Me Your Hand from Arade's release, Celtic Spells.
And insert song here, and continuing with the interview.
Do you know what Give Me Your Hand is in Irish? It's Tuair Dom Do Lámh, which it's a tune I'm sure you both know very well. And it's probably one of the most famous Irish tunes. And a lot of great musicians like Chris Thiele, for example, loads of people play it. And I really loved playing this particular tune with my brother, Carl, and the very light, very, very light kind of arrangement of it. I love it.
Okay.
It breathes very, very well. And I love that track. And they're great tunes. Okay. They get the toes going. And so whatever you like. Some beautiful
They're all your
on
children,
it.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah. We talk about fair play. And so we've been looking into it and following up on it and really interested in women musicians, not just in Celtic, but in music around the world and the science they put into it and the study. And we always ask any musicians, male or female, but are there any young female musicians out there that we should keep an eye out for or that are just under the radar that we may not be able to find them so easy, but anybody you know of out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge advocate of women, obviously, and men. But you know, I grew up, I have a lot of thoughts on this, and I love, I'm great friends with Karen, and she's such an amazing musician and singer, and another person, Niamh Parsons, great singer. Just so many, Sharon, mm-hmm. These are people that I know really well, and lots of great female musicians coming up, blistering, the playing is just blistering from them, and they're amazing. I am so inspired by younger players and older players. It's just amazing how the trail has been blazed for young players, and they now can kind of go forward and listen to masters like Liz Carle and my own mother, Kathleen Nesbitt. And there was a fantastic fiddle player who I'm so inspired by, Kathleen Collins, who is no longer with us, but the most amazing American fiddle player. Amazing, amazing, beautiful fiddle player. And of course, you have Natalie McMasters and Nova Scotia, and you have loads of different players that are so great. Siobhan Peoples, Tommy's daughter, fabulous fiddle player, and Hayley Richardson, of course, and so many. There's a Mairead from Cork. And I can't think of her second name, but she's absolutely amazing. Aoife O'Brien in Dublin. And there's just so many. There's so many that you're just so inspired by. And then different players from different genres as well. Incredible world players. Indian music. I love Indian music, fiddle music. I just absolutely love it. And so it's great to have all that whole literally world music open you up and listen to beautiful music from different genres and just soak it in. And also be, as you said, I think you said, Kathy, and show the pure drop in your own culture as well. Have your own thing solid in your head as well. And that's really inspiring to me. I learn every day. So many amazing players in Canada, Nova Scotia, so many. And of course, so many around New York and Boston, and incredible, incredible players, all of them. I mean, if I named one, you know.
it's an unfair question.
I
understand.
I'd be in the bad books for naming one and not naming about 100 others. But Irish music is in such a great state at the moment. And what I would say to all young musicians, both female and male, is always play with musicians that are masters at their craft, the absolute masters. And don't think that just because they play probably a bit simpler than you, they know which tune goes with what tune. That's what I'm seeing that is missing now, is the tunes that are supposed to go together don't might necessarily be in the correct set of tunes. But getting to your question about fair play, I mean, what a fantastic movement. And really the world over, I think we can all learn massive lessons from and teaching from movements like that. And I certainly, you know, from being a woman, have come across a lot of interesting situations, and none bad as such, but just growing up, you were highly aware of you had to be better than the boys to even factor in. And and I was.
And the encouragement. I mean, your family was musical.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that your parents were like, everyone's going to play. They're going to play well. We're going to have fun doing it. But you get out into the world and it can be different.
Well, I have, a both sides angles on this. Yes, I was very lucky to grow up in a family that, I mean, I have four brothers and a sister. So it's a very balanced, it's not, you know, I mean, I was a tomboy growing up. And I do say I've never in my life been intimidated by a male in professionally or privately. So that's a really great thing. I'm very lucky like that. But I grew up with amazing brothers. I grew up with an amazing father and mother who were very before their time. And my mother went on tour. My father did some tours and was at home with us, cooking us breakfast and getting us off to school. And also my mother too. So it was a very level as you're going to get at that time. It was a very level playing field. With my parents as a couple. And if I was glossed over by somebody else, either female or male, you just take it and you work harder the next time. That's, and I know as women, there is a certain amount of working a bit harder, a good bit harder for, the same treatment. But you know what? I suppose I quickly kind of found out that life isn't fair, and you really go for it and you make the most of it, and not in a brash way. Not in a cruel way or a brash way. You have to be kind to everybody. I'm a huge believer in that. Be kind to everybody, and they'll feel really bad if they're not kind to you back.
That's a great way to put it. One of the things we noticed as we put together shows every week, if we're not paying attention, we can come up with a show that is 90% male artists. So what the Fair Play movement did for us is it just opened our eyes to say, wait a minute, there are good recording females out there. Yeah. Why are we not naturally coming up with a 50-50, sort of play? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we give ourselves a fair play score every week when we do our show. It's like, are we out there looking for the female musicians? That you are right. There are some women out there that are absolutely rocking the trad scene.
Absolutely. I mean, my constant inspiration every day is Kathleen Nesbitt, my mother, as a fiddle player and as a woman and as a teacher, a professor. One of her great friends would be, and one of mine would be, a Liz in Chicago, that amazing fiddle player. There's so many players, of course, then in Nova Scotia, of course, there's Natalie McMasters, and her family are great fiddle players, her little ones, and it's just fantastic. I think, of course, there's always been great female singers too. Very great young singers coming out of Ireland and Scotland, and it really is fantastic. And I just, I'm very inspired by the older players and the younger players. I always am. I'm always open to what they have, because you never stop learning. It's really, really important to understand that. And it's really important for younger musicians to understand that as well, because you never stop learning, no matter how good you think you are. There's always somebody better. And actually, it's not even about that. It's if you're different, if you're a little bit different, and if you're unique, and coming back to the whole inclusivity and diversity, if you have that kind of something about you that's unique, that people can gravitate to, and you are genuine in what you portray. Yet I think being genuine in what you do and what you play is really paramount, you know. And I think your work with the dexterity and clean playing and the technical aspect, it's really important and should be a given, and it is a given. But the whole vibe then is so important as well. The whole genuine conveying of the spirit, you know.
Yes. I think that's it, unless you have any other questions for us. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, Mairead, where can people find out more about you?
I'm just so delighted to be on here. And if anyone wants to hear any more and or see any more about me, go to MairéadNesbitt.com and all my socials. And I can't wait for you all to hear Celtic Spells, the whole album. I have a single out at the moment, old tunes, the Man of the House and the Fox Hunter. And so that's a single out at the moment. And it kind of got a new lease of life, The Man of the House, because of this Boston TV show on Showtime, City on a Hill. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's the theme music for that. And it's just great to have these old tunes coming back again. And that's really what I wanted to do with Celtic Spells, to bring the old tunes back and have some kind of things that people don't really play. Nobody plays O'Carolan's Concerto, for instance, because it's a little bit tricky. And also it can kind of be, you know, just kind of hard to get going, you know. And but I wanted to put it in there because people don't really play it. And I love O'Carolan as well. Another inspiring composer. So,
yes. And thanks so much. So generous with your time. And good luck with the album and the tour. And yeah, we will be pulling it out.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
And actually, I do have a single coming out January 20th, another single. Yeah, the single is going to be Sky Boat Song. So it's a nice Scottish flavor for you. And I love that song. I've always loved it as a child. So we're looking forward to that coming out as well. And looking forward to everyone seeing and hearing Celtic Spells as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.